Making the right financial decisions takes time, skill, and effort. The Savvy Brokers Club podcast delivers strategies from today's thought leaders that help you build and maintain your financial freedom.
Welcome to the Savvy Brokers Club podcast. Today I'm joined by Alex Fillon, mortgage advisor at Vibe Mortgage. Alex, I appreciate you being here, brother.
It's an honor to be here. It truly is.
The honor is all mine. It has been really amazing getting to know you. A lot of similarities, a lot of shared values, and yeah, it's been awesome.
Yes, sir.
Now, Vibe Mortgage is a newer name in the industry, right?
It is.
But you, my friend, have been in it for a while.
Depends what your definition of a while is, but yes.
I'm sure if you ask your daughter, she's probably forever for her, right?
Forever. Her whole life.
Her whole life.
Yeah, absolutely. Her whole life plus a little some.
Now, why don't you start by telling us where you're from originally? Because it's a pretty cool story.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. So originally, I was born in Riga, Latvia. A lot of people don't know where it's at, but it's in Eastern Europe, a small country, population about 1 million people. It's in the Baltics, where the country above is Estonia, the country below is Lithuania. And most people would know where Ukraine is, so we're two countries above that. And born in the early 80s, late 83, it was part of Soviet Union. So I grew up speaking fluent Russian, grew up speaking Russian. I still speak fluent Russian now. And my parents immigrated to live the American dream March 8th, 1990. March 8th, a lot of people don't know, is what's called Women's Day. And it's actually celebrated big time in Europe.
Oh, no way.
In Eastern Europe. And in Russian, it's called Zhenskiy Den, Women's Day. And 8 days from today is March 8th. We'll be celebrating 34 years of us immigrating here. And
congratulations.
Thank you. It's more my parents than anything. My parents sacrificed a lot to be here. And I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't think about that, because I'm truly grateful for it. And I live a good life now that my parents helped me instill certain values to get there that I try to teach my daughter on a daily basis. But truly, there's not a day that goes by of me not thinking about what my parents sacrificed for us to get here.
A lot of sacrifice, a lot of struggle. And from what you were telling me, showing up here with $600 cash, right? And that's where you plant your seed. And when you work hard and you have these values, look at the product of that, right?
Absolutely. My father told me the whole story, $640. And nowadays, my understanding is you don't need a social security guard to get a driver's license. But back then you had to. So we came here on a visit, and I think it expired after 3-4 months. And technically we were here legally for another 7-8 months until all the paperwork came through. And my father didn't want to drive, didn't want to sacrifice the opportunity to stay here and get all the legal documents, the green card, the visa, eventually the citizenship. Whenever I have bad days, my parents are the ones I think about of, what did they go through? What am I really complaining about? So I really don't have a lot of empathy for individuals that complain, especially when they have a lot of things. I do have a lot of empathy for the right reasons, but they definitely instilled the hard work and just chasing that dream, which is truly the American dream, and it's correlated with what I do in life.
No, very much. And a big part of that for you, and I think still is, maybe not to the extent when you're in high school and it becomes your life, but sports. You took that philosophy into sports and specifically football, right?
Yeah. It's interesting how it's all correlated, because at a young age, six, coming here, I was six years and 3 months. To this day, I remember being made fun of for having an accent. And today, once you hear me talk, there is no accent. Once you look at me, I don't look like I was born in a different country. But what a lot of people don't realize, from about 6 to 10, I was verbally bullied a lot. And what clicked for me was going out in recess and doing well in whatever sport we played. And it just got my attention of, whoa, that kid's being nice because I was good at soccer. That kid's being nice because I was fast. And it gave me something to strive for to become better at sports, where I was the only child that I just wanted people to accept me more than anything. And then one thing just led to another where I fell in love with the game. And football actually didn't come till 8th grade. I started playing. I was big into soccer. And continuing on all this correlation, how it's all intertwined, is the only reason I played football was because all my friends did. Right? I had no desire to play football. I was really good at soccer, but all my friends did. And I was the only child, and I didn't want to be left out. And thank God I did, because it turned out for the best.
And how has that shaped you now in your professional career when you think about those feelings? That stays with you, right? And the inclusion, the making sure that people feel like they're seen, they're heard, but also like they belong to something.
100% is, I realized it a lot in high school because I ended up being a really good football player, basketball, track. I was just an athlete. I love sports, and being an all-state football player, being the best guy on the team, you're put on a pedestal in a way. And a lot of people that don't play sports or play sports, a lot of those individuals are cocky, they're arrogant. Excuse my language, they're assholes. And to me, that's something I never wanted to be, because I remember the feelings I had when I was verbally bullied, when made fun of just because I had an accent. So to me, now it's an opportunity to connect and relate. Or when I see a teammate that picks on somebody, oh, Alex, I'm just joking. It's not funny, bro. Like, how do you think they feel? And I've had a lot of those conversations. I had a lot of those conversations in high school where, you know, we're immature. We're in our teens, 15, 16, 17, 18. You do a lot of stupid things. And I feel coming from a different country and being made fun of and going through that and growing up earlier than I should have, which I'm very grateful for, put me in the opportunity to say, well, why are you making fun of them? Whether it's because of their heritage, where they're from, their accent, the way they look. And it's interesting because my wife's a special needs teacher as well and a coach. So I relate to that a lot. And it's just a bond we have there.
Yeah. And to hear you too, also not being empathetic of certain qualities, which I think you and I agree on as well, complaining for the sake of complaining and being a victim and all that. How do you really walk that line between, cause I think that's the trap that a lot of people fall into, is almost babying and coddling to the point where it's actually detrimental to the person versus not. There is a balance where you have to, on in some sense, be stern and be direct and have all those great qualities, but then on the other end is be empathetic and realize not everyone's on the same journey too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it depends on the relationship you have, right? I think you could agree, and a lot of people could agree, there are certain conversations you could have with friends where you can be extremely direct, right? And just get into them for, what are you doing? What are you saying? Hey, I'm here to help you. And then there's certain relationships that you don't know that person that well, right? And you get to know them a little bit better and ask certain questions to understand, where is that coming from? Right? Are you complaining to be complaining? Are you looking for attention? Is there something else going on there? Where it's just really connecting with them and understanding what's going on. I have a handful of friends that are going through some stuff right now, and I make sure to reach out to them and not give them advice or tell them exactly what to do, but just more ask questions and say, hey, I'm here for you. Because we're all dealing with our own problems in a certain way. I sure as hell am.
Yeah. But that's also a big part of what I sense as changing you as well, in the way that you lead in relationships, personally or professionally, where you mentioned it, but vulnerability is really the pathway towards connection.
Big time, big time. I think once you could be vulnerable with somebody and just share some of your flaws or some of the issues you're dealing with, it puts the guard down when you're talking to somebody, and it allows them to open up. For instance, I won't name names, but my wife and I went through IVF. To have our first daughter. And it was a very difficult process. And my wife and I decided to be very open and vocal about it because we realized there's individuals that went through that were ashamed, embarrassed, thought they were lesser of individuals that could have kids. And I found out some of my closest friends went through IVF prior to us. And the only reason we found out is because we went through it and we were vocal. And I didn't judge them. I didn't get down on them, bro, why didn't you tell me, what the hell, this, that, the other. It was just, I asked them those questions, but in an empathetic way, right? And I got to hear why. So my wife and I decided, hey, let's be vocal, because that's going to help people. And to your point, vulnerability about that opens up relationships. It gets people closer together to connect on something that you might have never known or talked about unless you were vulnerable about it. So to me, you know, what I like to tell to myself a lot is, I don't have any skeletons in the closet. I live a good life of, I'm a good man. I put everything out there, and nobody could find something on me that I don't already know or feel comfortable talking about. And that's a good way to live.
No, absolutely. It is. It's a huge weight when if you're having to do that, right, that you bear. trying to mask that and trying to live a double life. And there's a freedom. And I think people do that unknowingly so often. And maybe it isn't the skeletons in your closet, but it's the things that you feel, you know, like you said, that you're going through something and they're shaming it, or that you feel alone in the things that you go through or that you even enjoy, right? But the minute you're vulnerable enough to share, that's when you really make connections with people.
100%.
And for you, how has that been professionally? Where that has it changed for you when, as you lead in those professional conversations and relationships?
Absolutely. Some of my top referral partners are either realtors or financial advisors, attorneys, insurance agents, and they've truly become friends. And I think one of the ways we became friends is vulnerability. Talking about certain things, talking about a struggle, me calling. When I call a realtor, it's interesting. Every time I call a realtor, they always feel like they got to tell me, like, oh, I don't have any leads for you. I don't have any buyers. And I call them, I'm like, to be clear, that's not the reason I'm calling you. How are you doing? What's going on in life? What's not going well? Is there anything I could help you with? And I genuinely mean that, because at the end of the day, yes, it's business, but I'm looking to create a relationship, right? And that's what I consider myself, as more of a relationship mortgage advisor, where you get a lot of business that way, but you also get a lot of fulfillment because you're connected with somebody, right? You could, tomorrow, I'm going out with a realtor, not because of business, not because he's going to send me more business. I genuinely like him as a friend. I like hanging out with him. We just happen to do business together as well. And that's the beauty of it.
And that's what community is, though, right? 100%. At the end of the day, it's helping and supporting one another in those ways. And you're going to spend money one way or the other. Might as well spend it where you can to support those that are in your circle, your community. And yeah, and it comes back to you.
Big
right?
time.
It comes back to you.
Big time.
So now, this background also in the way that you got here, because you spent 8.5 years in the insurance game.
Yeah.
And just, I think a lot of people like that have been in it, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in it today, but it comes with its own nuances. And you just were like, hey, this isn't for you at that point, and had an opportunity.
Yeah. I got into life insurance with New York Life, one of the top two companies in the industry, a Fortune 100 company, straight out of college after playing football. Met, at the time, I didn't know the guy, but his name is Luke Quacha. Shout out to him. Taller than me, tall dude.
Played, you're a pretty tall guy.
A little above average.
Yeah.
but he was 6'5", 6'6", played baseball at Stanford. So I really connected with him and met him at a career fair, and he was my mentor for 8.5 years when I was there. And I enjoyed helping people with finance, because I think there's a lot of people that take advantage of individuals. Life insurance has a bad dark cloud over it because a lot of individuals are uneducated. It's actually a really great product for retirement, and God forbid something happens. And we just had a really great connection. And he moved out to California, where he's from. He's now in Fresno, runs that office, and he does great, and a great human being and great family. And it's interesting because my wife and I always wanted to emulate their family, right? We saw them and we're like, that's the marriage we want. That's the family we want. And it was just cool to have a mentor like that. And after he left, there was an individual that came in, won't name any names, but is just an unethical person and just a dark cloud over the office. And I went to play golf with two of my closest friends, Justin and Amir, and I wear my heart on my sleeve. I don't fake things, which is what you get. Usually I'm happy-go-lucky, very optimistic. And I was just very down playing a game I love, golf. And they're like, dude, what's going on? And I shared with him, and Amir definitely took his shot and opportunity to recruit me. And golf is long, 4.5 hours. And we had a 2-hour conversation in the parking lot after. And one thing led to another. That was in August, met again in October. And I resigned from New York Life at the end of November 2015 and started working with Amir and Justin.
Wow. And obviously you don't know what you don't know, right? When you go into something, looking back now, what advice would you give yourself starting off in the industry? And no wrong answer, right? But yeah, what would you do differently in terms of the approach you took, even just to get here in this industry, doing what you do now?
To be honest, I wouldn't take a different approach because of the leadership I had. And major shout out to Amir for that, because when I got into the industry, he flat out told me, go break bread with as many people as you can. And going back to our previous conversation of being that athlete, being known, having a huge network, being nice to people, were open to meet with me. And I had the benefit of having a huge network and just saying, hey, used to be a financial advisor. Now I decided to go into mortgages. Is there anybody, right? Is there a realtor I could connect? Do you need a review of your mortgage? Are you buying anytime soon? Do you know anyone buying? And I could have never done that if it wasn't the guidance for Amir, right? Now, Amir was our leader, and then Justin's my best friend since third grade, right? So he's one of the individuals I grew up with, right? At that tail end of my accent ending, and both of us were athletes and competing with each other, against each other, the whole nine. But I had somebody there that, in a positive way, saying, if he could do it, I could do it. And no negativity there whatsoever of I'm better than him. It's more of we're equals. And he's paving the way for me. And we have this amazing leader in Amir to show us which direction to go into and guide us. And back to your question is being an athlete, I was very coachable, right? One of the things I always remember Amir telling us is, dude, check your ego at the door and just take my advice. I took that to heart. Because it's tough being in your early 30s, having success. I was a partner in New York Life, which, to be clear, is a glorified name for a sales manager, right? I don't want anyone thinking out there I was a partner of a law firm or anything like that. To be making good money at age 31, 32, and then completely switching your career. And what I did was bet on myself, but I also bet on the leadership I had that were true friends. And some of the conversations we had, not too many people could have. There'd be shouting matches, right? There'd be yelling. But I learned that from sports, right? And if you understand sports, when a coach yells at you, they love you. Don't listen to them yelling. Listen to what they're saying. Be very nervous and scared if they don't talk to you, because that means they don't care about you. So when Amir would get into me in a positive way, I didn't get in my feelings, right? I didn't have an ego where it's just, bro, who are you talking to? Do you know who I am? It's like, I know who I am, but I'm nobody in the mortgage world. He's somebody. I'm going to take his leadership. I'm going to take his advice. And that was the beauty of it, where, you know, back to your question of immigrating from Latvia, Soviet Union, going through sports, going through difficult times, having hard times, going through adversity, prepared me for that career change that set me up for success, because I surrounded myself with great people.
No, and that's something that you preach, and I've heard you say a few times now, but that it is about, you know, having a positive outlook first and foremost, but then surrounding yourself with good people. And look, it's paid off. Obviously, you've been successful in these industries. You've done well in two different industries, found a passion in this. And now for the last couple of years, you've been coaching?
Yeah. Speaking of Amir and Justin, they started a coaching company called Growth Only. Shout out to them for doing it. And they started it during the COVID era, where there was no camaraderie. You weren't going in the office. You were working from home. And it's tough to motivate yourself. Like, I have bad days. I have bad hours, certain things like that. And it's tough to motivate yourself. It's tough to be disciplined. A lot of people don't have it. And it's something you learn, and it's something you exercise on a daily basis. And they started that company. And Amir coached me for the last a little over 8 years. I always say I'm the true guinea pig of this coaching program, because they brought me to success because I took their leadership and their guidance, checked the ego at the door, the whole nine. And then being asked to be one of the coaches of the program was a true honor, because I do love to give back. And if I could have any profession, I'd be a coach. My only issue with it is it doesn't pay enough. I'm motivated by money, not to buy fancy things. I'm motivated by money because I don't come from money. I didn't grow up with money. Lived in an apartment until I was 16 years old, and my parents bought their first house when I was a sophomore in high school. So money equals freedom for me. So very motivated by that, and coaching, it's a long road to get to college, NFL, where they make a lot of money. I remember the guy that recruited me at Illinois State was an offensive coordinator, and they made $40,000 back then. Like, from 2002 to 2006, I was a coach. He ended up being the head coach at Virginia Tech, making $4 million a year.
Oh, wow.
So there's some money in there. But yeah, back to the coaching company that they started, Growth Only. It's been a blessing. It's been a blessing to be a coach and coach many students across the country. And I learn so much from them. And I make sure to tell them that. It's, hey, we're equals. I'm here to coach you. I'm here to hold you accountable, which a lot of people need, right? I sure as hell need it. A lot of people need accountability, and that's what I'm there for. But I want to be crystal clear. I'm not here to yell at you. I'm not here to talk you down. I'm not here to make you feel this small. I'm here to motivate you. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to direct you, right? Not as a director. There's a saying that you're either drifting, you're driven, or you're directed. And I learned that from Amir, right? Directed is like bowling, the bumpers that go up to make sure you don't gutter. Like waking up and having a great calendar and a morning routine of what are you doing? Because a lot of people just wake up out of bed and they just kind of, they're drifting. Whatever comes, they attack. So we need to be directed in our day to be successful. And it's just so many things I learned from Amir, from Justin, the coaching program. And as you mentioned before, it's when you coach other individuals, you retain so much more information. And that's been extremely helpful for me.
No, it's so true. And kudos to you for that. And the humility, too. It's appreciated. But you have your own experiences. And I'm sure that many people feel the same way about you that you do about Amir and Justin. And I want to go back to that, too, because I think that it's more common than not for people to experience struggle financially.
Yes.
And it's like you said, if you don't have it, it's a lack of freedom.
100%. Right?
But when you do, it is that. What is that mindset that you would advise people on or coach those that are listening to get into that place where those things like home ownership are possible, those things like having your own business or even just having an abundance of things where you snap out of that maybe even lifelong cycle of lack and poverty even. What was it that you think if you could bottle it up in some wise words, what is that about adopting that type of mindset in order to get to that point where you obviously aren't there anymore?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Honestly, it's surrounding yourself with the right people, right? There's a saying that you are the average of the five closest people you hang out with. And I'm a living testament of that, right? I make sure to surround myself with great people. And I learned that at a very young age in high school, where there are certain individuals that were given certain things and they did absolutely nothing with. It drove me nuts. It drove me nuts where a good friend was given a business, but he'd go out drinking, which fine, cool, you drink, no problem. But the saying goes, if you're going to be out at night with the owls, you better be up early with the eagle, right? Or the hawk, whichever bird you want to use there. Yeah. And I experienced that in college of going out, partying late till 2, 3 a.m. But I'd have to wake up at 5 or 6 to do my workout. And I didn't do that many times because it's not a good feeling. But when you have responsibilities and things are given to you, and you don't take advantage of that, that just rubs me the wrong way. And I don't talk bad about those individuals. I separate myself from those individuals. I see those individuals to this day, and whenever I see them, I show them love because I do love them. But at the same time, I can't surround myself with them because that's just a weak mentality to have. I need to surround myself with individuals that are going to uplift me, where they're going to notice something is wrong with me and they're going to speak up and not be quiet about it. Because if you're allowing me to go down a spiral, you're not a friend. You're an acquaintance, and we don't need to be hanging out. So the advice, if I were to give any advice to anybody, is surround yourself with people that care about you. Surround yourself with people where you are not the smartest in the room. You're not the wealthiest in the room, right? And you have something to look up to. And make sure they are great people as well. Like to me, that is Amir. That is Justin, right? That was the Luke Quacha of New York life. I wanted to be similar to them. I wanted to achieve a certain level to them, but they also poured into me, right? So definitely surround yourself with the right people and just get rid of the individuals that are not uplifting you, right? There's too many haters in this world. Like one of the things, Tony, I pay attention to very closely is when someone does something well. If I do something well, I'm paying super close attention to their reaction. Are they hating on me? Are they loving me? And I make sure to emphasize it when somebody else does well, I am celebrating the hell out of them. Not because it did anything for me, because they're my friend and they achieved something. And to me, that is one of the quickest way to identify who's in your inner circle, who should stay in your inner circle, or who should be let go and moved on because they're not worth your time.
Man, so true. And we're glad that you're a part of our inner circle here.
I appreciate that.
No, so excited for this and very grateful that you come in, share your story, but also, you know, being a part of the community and so excited for what's to come with Vibe Mortgage and, you know, now with Vibe Society. We have the vibes.
It's a big vibe and it's a common word out there with young millennials, Gen Zers, and it's funny as I meet referral partners, realtors, financial advisors, and I wear my hoodie, and that's my new outfit. I used to wear suits all the time in New York life, and I have so many suits in my closet that I'm not a huge fan of wearing. The new look is the hoodie with the blazer over, business casual, the business look, the what's it, the mullet, right? Yeah. Business in the front, party in the back, right? It's like, here's the party and then the blazers and the business. But yeah, we're trying to spread good vibes, right? One of our slogans is good home vibes only. And we just want to give back in a positive way and educate first-time home buyers, any type of investors, and just educate them, because there's so much knowledge that I've learned that I share with younger individuals that there are a lot of different things that would, there's a lot of things I would have done differently had I known or had I had the knowledge I have now when it comes to real estate investing, home ownership. Something that's extremely important to me is generational wealth, right? Where I already have an investment property for my six-year-old daughter. That's hers, right? And eventually, once she gets old enough, she's going to come with me for the next investment where I could hand it down to her. And that's leaving a legacy. Not only was Alex was a great human, but he left something for his family, right? My parents sacrificed so much to get us here, where it's my responsibility to pass that baton and make sure there's no gap there.
Absolutely.
And that's extremely important to me.
Love it, brother. Love it. And for those that want to find you online, support, encourage, follow, where can they find you personally and also Vibe Mortgage?
Absolutely. It's just Google the name Alex Fillin, F-I-L-I-N, Vibe Mortgage. But I'm big on Instagram. When I say big, it's just I do a lot of education there, lead with education, very non-salesy 30 to 60 second videos or Twitter-like posts of just educating. I'm a big fan of educating people because that's how you truly get to somebody. It was funny. I had a call yesterday with guy that was connected with me about 8 months ago, and I reach out to him. He's like, bro, I've been following you on Instagram. I've learned so much. Your content's great. And not a lot of people tell you that, right? Because again, they keep it to themselves. So when you hear that, not from a business partner, not from a referral partner, but somebody that literally just went under contract today, it makes it all worth it, because it's not easy to do this social media thing, right? It's not easy to do this podcast. It's a lot of work.
No, I appreciate it. And thank you again for coming in and sharing your story and just for being you.
Truly an honor. Thank you, Tony.